going to be speaking on step 12, which is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So Carolyn, we invite you up to wrap things up for us.
Greg. My name is Carolyn. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Well, the 12 steps, very popular. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to have been Kevin's favorite speaker for the past 5 weeks. It's bittersweet having to let go of that affection, but I understand that that's part of the deal. I want to say that the 12th step is one of the maintaining steps. So if you're new or nearly new, the 12th step applies to you, because what we're doing is that we're maintaining whatever amount of sobriety we have. So for instance, if we're pretty new and we've got a car, we can give rides, and I understand that's going on in this room tonight. So the 12th step is happening. What is 12 step work? My experience over the past 38 years is it's been varied, but it's pretty, there's no new ideas in Alcoholics Anonymous. Sometimes little personal wrinkles come up, but essentially the aspiration is that we're doing some of these things. For me, it started out going to a meeting, and during the past 2.5 however long it's been, a lot of us started Zoom meetings and went to those and got the word out that that Alcoholics Anonymous had simply changed venue, that we were online, as some of our friends are tonight. Welcome, Zoomers. To greet the newcomer, to give out my phone number, to greet each other, and to give a meeting schedule to a new person in town. And I really appreciate Erie AA. I've been, as I've shared, I've been in 6 different communities sober, and without doubt, after 10 months, I know most of the people in this room, and that's pretty unusual. So hats off, thank you, really. Give our phone number out. I give my cell phone number out. I started taking phone numbers from new people, not because I'm going to call them. And I said, I usually tell people, I'm not going to call you, but this way I know your name and number when it pops up on my phone. I think kind of some extraordinary 12-step work that we're called to do is answer the phone even if we don't know who it is. But that's kind of a measure that I do. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was so relieved that nobody was going to call me. You know, I had some preconceived notions. I thought I was going to have to sign up. You know, I thought maybe I was going to have to get a buddy, which of course I got a sponsor who assured me she was not my buddy when we first started. And, you know, but it's the paradox. I didn't know how to stay sober, but I didn't want you telling me how to do it. So it took a long time, not that long, well, 2 years, to kind of completely break down those barriers. So, and really what that had to do with is trusting my higher power and trusting that I could hear my higher power through you all. This is the actual Alcoholics Anonymous Erie County meeting schedule. There are meeting schedules that look like this, if you've been around, all over the country. And on them, they have the AA answering service number. So I dialed it up today, And then I saw it said emergency calls. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to distinguish myself. You know, this is not emergent. So after a couple minutes, a really nice woman answered the phone. It is a professional answering service. And some of you may know this. You may be on the list. But anyways, I said to her, I'm a sober member of AA. I just wanted to see what the procedure is and what happens when I call. And so she explained to me that if somebody was just looking for a meeting, they typically ask them where they're located, and then pull up the meeting list on the computer. And I guess this answering service is familiar with where things are, and let people know where there's a meeting that they can go to and times and what have you, which is, I thought, really helpful. And then if it was a person that wanted to speak to a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a list of men and a list of women, about 10 to 12 people. And my understanding, and those of you that have experience with it probably know for sure, but it sounded like she said we would try to get a man for a man or a woman for a woman on the phone. And it sounded to me kind of like patched through. So I thought that was really helpful. And she didn't know, but maybe after the meeting we can talk about how you get on that list, because I've, for better or for worse, been on those lists over the years, and that's more 12-step work than, you know, that we can do. Anyways, and then she said, well, if it's an emergency, I tell them to hang up and call 911. So, anyway, so that's a great service that I guess our some of our seventh tradition probably goes to. What's other 12-step work? Giving a lead, my opinion, give it when you're halfway through the ninth step, not before, but maybe people's experience is different. That is not a reason to drag your feet on the steps. As we've seen over the past 4 weeks, we know that Dr. Bob did most of his steps in his amends, at least in one day. There's my experience was I dragged my feet. I didn't do the steps thoroughly until I was 2 years sober. I don't recommend that, but that is my experience. At the home group, my home group is Glad You're Here, and it meets at 6:30 on Mondays at the Wayside Presbyterian Church, and there's a sponsor list there. So there's a list of men, and I'm assuming a list of women, who have their name down there indicating that they're willing to sponsor people. Again, if I'm halfway through the ninth step, I'm probably qualified to sponsor somebody. I brought some, there's only a dozen here, but we can make more if there seems to be an interest. This is with regard to sponsorship. What I said at the outset a few weeks ago is that I was going to talk about my experience of doing the steps and the steps out of the big book of AA. That was my experience. I, of course, am well aware of the 12 and 12 and that that's very useful. But this is the page numbers of the 12 steps in the big book of AA. So if you're wondering where they are, and it doesn't say, this is step one, this is step two, now you're going to maybe look at this and you're going to wonder, how did you know? And this is my friend Ken, who I said, Ken, how did you know that step two started at page 35? And he said, because my sponsor, Tom, told me. That's when they started describing Fred and Tom and the guys that were insane. So that was the insanity described. So anyways, you can grab one of these if you want one. But all of the, and then of course, as you know, starting at step three, it says that we were at step three, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little, but the steps one and two are described there. Other We've seen service in action here, the 12 step in action. And at this time, I'd like to recognize, I hope I recognize everybody, Kevin, who I guess got this meeting and its iteration started, and also has spent an inordinate amount of time on the internet trying to fix something that was an issue that arose with regard to access to people's names and stuff on the internet, and thank you for doing that. There's the people that order the food, pick up the food, serve it, clean it up, and I think Eric, Ryan, maybe Jim, the coffee maker, my understanding from my observations is Bruce, and there's a literature person who I don't know who that is. Who's a literature person?
Bruce.
All right, thank you, Bruce. And
Kevin's a coffee maker and I'm a coffee maker.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Jack is secretary. Andrew's treasurer. Who else has a service position in the I always want to call this the Legends meeting, but it's the Legacy meeting. Anybody else?
Everybody who walks in the door.
Okay. Well, let's have a big hand for those that I mentioned. Thank you. Hand up. Oh, Andrew, the money man. Yes. Very important. And then, of course, there's service outside the group with the conference committee, who puts on the spring conference. We have the esteemed former, I think maybe conference committee chair at large now, Jim, and that was a great conference. The women's retreat, I know, has a whole bunch of women that work on that, and Gretchen called the registrar when I admitted to Gretchen that I hadn't signed up yet, and she goes, oh, just a minute. So we were like signed up instantly. Other things, of course, the central committee, which is a large part of the business, is my understanding of the district. And then there's things like speaking at the detox and that. So we can all find something in this long list. I was, most recently we lived in Vermont, and there was a young people's organization, believe it, there's young people in Vermont, and it was called ICKIPA or something. I've heard that all over the country. I don't know what it stands for, but it has something to do with the young, or the young at heart. And they, Dan, which was the guy that was forever making these announcements to all of us 60-plussers, that there were meetings, and that there was going to be, you know, activities and what have you. But he said when he was trying to get into the organizational part of it, they wanted a service resume from him. So that's a thing, service resume. So keep track of what you're doing. And sometime you may be asked for your service resume before you move, I won't say up in the food chain. I think we're all lateral, but you know, there's different requirements or prerequisites, if you will, apparently. My service resume, kind of short. I was involved in politics, so I kept a very low profile for 20-some years. So now I'm able to tell more of my story than I have in the past. But a lot of my service was at the group level, and starting some meetings with a resentment in a coffee pot. And so anyways, we talk about fellowship is another part of the 12th step, an important part of the 12th step that also we're practicing here, but it's also I think it's what has kept me coming back. Practical experience shows, and this is from chapter 7, Working with Others, which the whole thing is about the 12th step. practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. And I think that's important to remember, particularly too when we have newcomers and stuff, to, you know, kind of, well, we all have our own styles a bit, but I think I might tread more lightly these days than I used to. How I used to is, how long have you been sober? What are you, you know, kind of telling him, but that's sophomoric and I'm well past that now. Life will take on new meaning to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And that is the kickoff to what the 12th step is all about. And the chapter goes through in detail how we address the families of alcoholics, how we address the new person, how we address the new person that doesn't want to hear from us, which is that we don't pursue them, and then just sharing a little bit about how we tell our own story, and we find out, as it says, we find out as much as we can about the person, and sometimes that's from a family member. I think the structure of AA was a little different back then, but still, I think these are all operable ideas, and so it talks about the process that we go through. But to boil it all down, it's one drunk talking to another. It's just as Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob when they met, talking to each other, and. Fellowship, I think, is embodied in the meeting before the meeting, and at this meeting, it's great because there's dinner, you know, and around the coffee pot, going out. Sometimes we'll go out to eat after the meeting. I used to do that a lot when I got sober in Tucson. I would know, well, Monday night we went to Coco's, Tuesday night we went to Pizza Hut, Wednesday night. And on and on. Trevor could fill those in, but anyway. I think we were in expat AA for 5 years in Abu Dhabi, and people would leave during the Christmas season, and so we would have an open house, and we are getting emotional, sorry. We would have a Christmas open house, and we did that at home when we were in Arizona. But anyways, we had an open house the first 4 years on Christmas Eve, called it the Waifs and Strays, which was something we borrowed from the British. There were a lot of British people there. And so people would come over and bring something, a dish or whatever. And the last year, for some reason, we decided we weren't going to have it, and I was sponsoring Joanna from Finland, and she wasn't going anywhere, and she's like, you're not having it. You've got to have it. What about us? What about us poor little new people, you know? And that's a close approximation of her whining, but in any event, it was great, because it got to Trevor, and he made his clam chowder. We had a great time of a sober evening. And there were, families would bring their kids and stuff, and we had a pretty small apartment, like 900 square feet, but we managed to just smush just lots and lots of people in there, as AAs can do, you know. The smaller the room, the more the people, and the better. I overheard at this last Christmas party that these two girls talking, and I think they were probably 9 or 10, and they were in my kitchen, which was very small. But anyways, I heard them say, do you remember when we first met? I think it was at this party. It was a few years ago. And I thought They sound like they're 89, these little old ladies, but that was, you know, that was a real gift. They had sober parents. And in terms of the 12th step, mostly I just have to stay aware and keep open to the opportunities that show up, you know. And that's, as I think I said early on, you can tell who the new people are in a meeting you go to. You just scope out the newcomers, and it was suggested to me to go right up to them and say hello. Now in Erie, we take that to the next level. We say hello and shake hands with everybody, which is also great. It probably makes the new person feel a little more comfortable. As we know, the step 12 has three parts. And so now I'm going to get to the first part last, the spiritual awakening. And how do you know if you've had the spiritual awakening? Well, I know because nowadays I don't always rely on my own thinking, my own solutions. I ask for direction. I ask for direction from God. I run it by somebody else in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, my idea isn't the first thing, hopefully, that I act on. In the first edition, a little history here, it was called the 12th step was called a spiritual experience. And that was somewhat referring to Bill Wilson's experience, which was, you know, kind of the burning bush, as he describes. He doesn't use those words, but as he describes, he had a very sudden upheaval and rearrangement of his psychology, I think it's fair to say. And but as the couple years, just a couple years between the first and the second edition, they changed it to spiritual awakening to denote that there's it's more a process, and that probably more people's experience, depending upon what they find as their higher power, is that of an awakening, a gradual process, rather than the white light. Mine definitely was that of a gradual process. And then this is described, of course, in the spiritual experience, which it was called and has been reprinted at page 567. I'm not sure if it's still 567. This is the third edition that I brought to kind of show off, because it's the one that I have, which has a lot of duct tape on it. And most of my writing, because I had this one, I did the steps years ago. I have a newer one. Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. So essentially synonymous with spiritual experience and spiritual awakening is a personality change. We change, we're different. And not by something that we necessarily whomped up ourselves, as we've talked before. It's our higher power's action within us. And it goes on to say that the person finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. And it's as we become more aware of a power greater than ourselves. I will say that in some circumstances, my first reaction is still not very spiritual or enlightened. If I'm criticized, and it's like right in my face, I usually will respond and bristle and respond quickly. If I've And I try to read the 11th step every day and keep in my readings. And if I've done that, I usually know to step back. My actions are different. As I say, a lot of my initial reactions, where I can just kind of clamp down, are the same. But my actions, what I do, or don't do when a situation has changed. And I believe that that's part of the personality change. I rely on my thinking now. That's a process, that's a promise that's in the 11th step, and that also that we have intuition, and that that's also something that we can rely on. So not that I'm off by myself thinking all these good thoughts. As I said, I still run things by people. The woman who heard my steps and took me through them and is a good friend of mine, Pat, I still call her because she's heard my whole life story. And I talked to her this week, and she was telling me about her an experience she had recently, which prompted her to a prayer, which she said, "Oh, my latest prayer is this. It's God, help me roll with it." Her husband just celebrated 50 years of sobriety, and they were going to have a nice party, as we do, and they had an AA hall and a caterer, and she said, and the reason that I've come up with this prayer is because I just threw all the invitations in the trash, because there were some health issues that arose that have to be addressed before the party. Now, being good alcoholics, we want to party before we have the procedure, but that's not happening. And in my mind, of course, I've been thinking on and off for months, well, we got to get out there for August 20th, and we realize how far it is and how hot it is. Well, now it's not even happening, so I don't know what step that fits into of worrying over what things that ultimately never happen. Anyway, they're hopefully coming to Chicago in the fall. We'll see. Closer by. And I think probably the clearest instance, of course, of our spiritual experience, spiritual awakening, is the fact that we might have a sustained period of time without drinking. That in and of itself is a miracle for all of us in this room. And and then finally, what are the principles of AA that we practice in all our affairs? Full disclosure, I Googled this. I have seen it, I've heard it, you know, at meetings or presentations, but I'd never committed these principles that apply. And this is one person's opinion, you know, that I Googled online, but it seemed pretty accurate to me. Step one being acceptance of my powerlessness, so acceptance. Two, hope that I'll find a higher power that can restore me. Three, that I have faith in the higher power. For me, early on, that faith was in the group of Alcoholics Anonymous, my home group. I could see that they were all sober, and I knew that that would be available to me if I did what they did. Four, courage to do what they did, which was do the fourth step. Five, honesty. Honesty principle being to share with the other people, my sponsor, God, and myself, all those things I did. Six, the patience to, it might take a while to be entirely ready to have God remove those defects. So patience. And then seven, of course, humility and asking Him to remove them. And eight, willingness to make the list. So willingness. Nine, I think humility applies to nine as well, because going to someone and telling them I did this, I'm sorry, how can I make it better, or how can I amend it. And then 10 is the daily integrity of maintaining our sobriety, keeping my side of the street clean. And 11, the self-discipline of turning to higher power every day. And then 12, service. Going back to 11 for a minute, also that self-discipline of prayer and meditation. Maybe we talked about that last week. for me, a lot of times the meditation is simply in the reading of the readings that I do, or in the reading of what's in the pages in the big book. So that's a whole lot to digest. I appreciate your patience, and I think I'm just going to read what one of my home groups, we read at the end of every meeting, and maybe some of the meetings around here we read it. The vision for you. And sometimes people would ask me to read this, and I'd say, I can't read it. Because it's really is a miracle and kind of encapsulates for me and for the sober person what we have to look forward to and the life that we're living. It's on page 164, which is the last page of the big book of pages 1 through 164 that have not been changed since the book was published. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. So I say I can't read that very often without crying. And may God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.
Thank you, Carolyn. So now we have time for questions and answers from our audience. If you're here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll get you the microphone. And if you're on Zoom, feel free to just speak up when you have the chance. So who would like to get us started?
Brenda isn't here tonight, so somebody will have to step up. Our faithful questioner.
Good evening. I'm is this one? I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
And I really want to thank you, Carolyn. You have just presented something that, in a way that I have never heard of before, yet it was so clear, and it was so based on fact. It wasn't just your observations. Bringing up the meeting schedule, calling the number to see what happened, it's so logical. I've never done that. Hello. And just, you know, you talking about this, and with the observation that you're a newcomer, but yet you're not. You have 38 years in the program. I'm so glad that I was able to be here this evening, and I'm sorry I wasn't here for the other ones, but I think our illustrious Kevin will have this up on aalegacy.com in the near future. And I want to thank you very much. I learned a lot tonight, and that last reading is very powerful because those people, the spiritual experience, they're speaking to us every day when we read that. It is powerful. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I really didn't have a question. Thank you.
Thanks, Bridget.
Who else would like to ask a question?
Hi, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
I was thinking about you travel, I travel a lot. What we found over the years, and listening to people who had lots of time that had gone out, and I think the general theme of that, from what I gather, is that they have stopped doing the 12th step. They had stopped carrying the message. They had became self-absorbed and went back to that selfishness. Have you found that to be the case too?
I think that's a really, thanks for your question. I think that's a very accurate assessment. You know, Bill Wilson talks about how he addressed his depression and how he addressed his, well, primarily his depression by doing, working with others, finding newcomers and talking to them. And so I think stories that I've heard, generally people say that they stopped going to meetings is what rang in my ears. But also, I think that I've also heard that depression has overtaken a lot of people in the later years, and that's been a reason to go out and not. And since we kind of have that prescription, if you will, from Bill Wilson about what we do later on, you know. I'm trying to think. A lot of when I was in expat AA, people would have to leave the country if they had big problems that were caused by drinking. And of course, you can't give away something you haven't got. So that was a problem with. There were a few guys there that come to mind that were there a long time and just couldn't get it, just slipped and slipped. And that may have been what they lacked. But I don't think they had anything to give out, although they can open the door, they can give rides. It's all 12-step work. So thanks. Good observation. Yeah.
Who else has a question? Anyone on Zoom?
I just wanted to add something. I don't know if anybody has a question, but I'm also reminded that in AA we learn how to do things in AA that we do out in the world that isn't the AA fellowship. And I think there's a lot of people here that are doing service. You know, we learn how to do service here, and we can take that out, you know, into the community and do a lot of service. Where Alcoholics Anonymous never comes up, but I learned how to do it here, and so I know that I can do it in the community.
Okay. Thank you again, Carolyn. It's you have a real fresh take on the steps. Each of the talks I've been to, you're hopelessly yourself, I guess, and that's a good thing. But you know, you started to lead into the question that was kind of on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about practicing these principles in all our affairs, how is that rolled out in your life? Is there something you've done that you might have not been willing to do, or something? But I mean, I can look to point to things in my life, but I'm wondering what you've done in yours. And I know you have, because you're still here and living the life. So how does that look in Carolyn's life?
Good challenge there, Leslie. And I'm a mom, and I'm a mother of adults. And so staying on my own side of the street has been a real challenge. And but I'm doing it, damn it. I have to stand on my own side of the street and pretty much keeping my mouth shut. And you know, I always thought I had a better idea when I got here. And so that's over the years been good behavior. And of course, I've talked to other people, other sober moms, and heard some good suggestions. I think honesty is real important. I practiced a profession where I always thought, as you know, where it was highly regarded, but some people, you know, they saw the movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, and they thought that's what it was all about. So sometimes it it is challenging to always be honest, but and I'm not talking about, yeah, I like your hat, when I don't really like your hat, you know, real stuff. And so that's held me in good stead, that principle. And I guess, you know, hope too. I've sponsored a lot of people in AA, and they haven't all stayed sober, they haven't all stayed alive. And but I know that there are many of us that do, and so I have the hope that I'm just passing stuff along that was freely given to me. It's not on me that the person stay sober or alive, you know. That's on them and their higher power.
Hello, Carolyn. Bruce, alcoholic.
Hi, Bruce.
This has been on my mind for quite some time. About 14 years ago, I had quit drinking a week ago. And that's all I did, because I wasn't really an alcoholic. I was just an unhappy individual who wanted to drink. Happy. But probably it was next week, and 14 years ago, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a gentleman walked into my office that I never met in my life. He was coming from New York, going to Ohio, and he made a call on my business, which was a printing business, and wanted to know if I needed any die cutting. Die cutting is cutting, stamping stuff and popping out little things from paper. But I didn't. We did very little of that. So we started talking about, he was a Browns fan, Steelers fan, how you're supposed to act in the stands itself, and we were hitting on good vibes. And then it was getting late, and he said, well, I got to get going, and we stood up and shook hands, and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, are you a friend of Bill W's? And I'm
wow.
Kind of... It's hard to talk about. And it just stunned me, because I knew what that meant, that because my ex-wife's husband, her father was in the program, and I knew Tom Carley, and you know, I knew a little bit about it. My dad was a raging alcoholic, but it just kind of stunned me. And his last name was Wiseman, and I referred to him as one of the three Wisemans that
wow.
pushed me, and I call it a spiritual awakening now, but I don't, you know, that's at the end of doing the steps. I did nothing. I didn't have a book, I didn't go to meetings yet, but that entered my life before, when I think I needed it the most. But what would you call that?
I call it exactly what you called it. That's a spiritual experience, I would think. Especially if the guy's name was Wiser. That's did you ever see him again? Is there?
Yes, we've stayed in contact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he lives part time in Arizona.
Oh well, connection there. Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I was going to say too, I forgot to mention this, is that I was fortunate enough that the desire to drink left me, almost. I'd say it was probably contemporaneous with my attendance at my first meeting that I didn't have that. And then my sponsor took, it was 3 years before her desire to drink left, and she spent a lot of time at her sponsor's house just putting in time. So that also is spiritual awakening, I think. It's a great story. Jim, did you have anything to share since you've got 10 years sober? I don't need you to ask a question. Just congratulations. That's really a milestone. Really cool.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Carolyn?
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you today? Are you grateful that you're done, or are you grateful that you did this?
Oh, I'm very grateful that I did it, and I appreciate that you accommodating my schedule of 5 weeks. And I think I've heard others say that they might be interested in doing it at a more abbreviated schedule, but that's up to the individual, and I really appreciate you accommodating that. And it's been great. It's been a great walk back through the steps, and I'm starting to sponsor somebody now, and so now I know where the, you know, my high points are. I have my page numbers. It's been really a good sharpening of my memory and experience. So
some of the people who have over 30 years of sobriety who haven't shared yet, what would you say to them?
I'd say jump in, the water's fine.
This is a kind of a paid hat. You know?
Yeah. Completely unknown to me. But I will say that I was a little hesitant at first because I just moved here. But you know, I've gotten more comfortable in knowing most everybody in this room, which is kind of amazing, and so it's been a good opportunity. And I am retired, so I have time. So if you're beating on the door of people that aren't necessarily retired yet, Kevin,
but we have bad connection. <when I'm retired.
laughs> I'd say it's been Let me parenthetically say that sometimes, all the time when I was new, when I was doing important stuff like making coffee and bringing donut holes, they said don't say no to a reasonable AA request. So I want you to know that I called my friend Pat, who was my sponsor back in those days, when you initially asked me, and she said, oh, just tell him to forget it. You just moved there. You're very busy. So... But I have called her back and said I've had the privilege of doing this, and it's really been great. Thank you.
We've never done a Zoom person, so maybe we can talk to
Catherine. Hey, Carolyn, since you asked, I thought I do have just a couple of words to say. First off, I'm just really grateful for everybody and for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's, you know, my life is... a lot better than it was. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I think we should recognize Bruce, who's celebrating, I think, you said 14 years this week, so that's really cool.
Yeah, Bruce!
And 10 years ago yesterday, when I arrived at Detox,
Dave, I hope you're okay with this. Yeah, you're not
no problem. when I arrived at Detox, that's when I met Dave. And so... you know, by the grace of God, I didn't pick up a drink for, you know, consecutively for 10 years. And Dave didn't have that same story. You know, his story's a little different. But for anybody here that's new or maybe has reintroduced or is mm-hmm. sponsoring somebody that's, you know, that's a struggle and you know, and they're going out and they're coming back and they're going out and they're coming back. You know, I know myself personally, I didn't think several years ago, if you would ask me where would Dave be on August 18th, 2022, I would have not said here, you know. So I think it's really important that we encourage the people that are struggling and coming in and coming out and you know, and they're still working on their story, but, you know, we just got to hang in there with them and pray for them and love them until they, you know, until they get it. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. And Dave, glad you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Carolyn, I think that about wraps things up.